Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, chef, you, chef, you, chef, you, yeah.
Cavs, ties.
Woo!
Connecticut. Took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? Happy Halloween to everybody out there in the world. Go get your candy fixing if you're part of the Kitty Clan. Things of that nature. Shout out to everybody that's been tuning in, giving us love all throughout the week, from the finger food episodes to the cookouts and more. Also, the crossover cafe is about to come back into effect, and the baseball buffet. We'll jump into a lot of that and more. We got a lot in slate today. I mean, from an event-packed week or weekend from Thursday to now, we'll get this done as best as possible. I am your host, TP Thomas. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. I have one of my co-hosts with me for the morning, Big Easy, out of the mountain area of the United States. How are you feeling this morning?
Good morning, my brother. I am feeling great, excited to be here on the show with you this morning. We got a lot of great stuff to talk about, and definitely excited for the Crossover Cafe. Basketball season's back in full force.
Okay, first and foremost, as we are in the midst of fall and the bird months, one of the my favorite seasons, if you will, the fall. The Fall Classic is here, and we have the Baseball Classic going down, a.k.a. the World Series. And this is a very interesting one where one team is more or less trying to beat the averages, if you will, because how many times they've gotten here and really haven't been that successful. The other team is in a scenario where they are trying to go against all odds with the rest of the country or baseball viewers alike. Don't really want to see them do well, but they're here at the pinnacle trying to make things happen. And let me just say this right now. This is very interesting the way that the Atlanta Braves are taking care of business, taking this to a 3-1 lead within the series. This is looking like it's all but over. If, you know, more or less this game that's coming up right here, game five, if Atlanta could close the door and not head back to Texas. In which you're getting a lot of help from pitching. You're getting a lot of help from, you know, unsung hero batters, shall I say it the best way. Eric, your thoughts on how this thing has been going down. The Braves taking advantage in Houston, getting one there early, coming back home and making sure they just don't lose a step, winning the next two at home. How do you feel about the Braves trying to corral this thing as soon as possible?
Yeah, they definitely need to do it as soon as possible. They got that energy there in Atlanta. The fans are all pumped. You can see outside of the stadium and in the stadium. They got the tomahawk chop going all game. And this is interesting, Timeless, because they're doing this without their superstar, Ronald Acuna Jr. A lot of people wrote this team off when he got the season-ending injury. They went out and they got Eddie Rosario. They got Jorge Soler. And these guys have actually stepped it up in the postseason. So they're getting a great performance all the way throughout the team. Dansby Swanson, it's pretty incredible to see. But they definitely want to finish it out today, because if anybody can come back from this deficit, we all know it's the Houston Astros. They're battle-tested. They got the experience. And I don't think they're feeling it. They got Dusty Baker, so they're locked and loaded. They're not going to fold under the pressure. If there's any team that can do it, it's them. So Atlanta definitely does not want to lose this game and have the final two games in Houston. That's really dangerous. But nonetheless, I think they can and will finish the series tonight. Timeless, you there?
Oh, and I was actually talking on mute. Excuse me, everybody, for that one.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you throw the Astros out there, including Skipper and Dusty Baker, in which he more or less has been here a few times and has not really been successful at the mountaintop. Your thoughts on Dusty Baker? Can he get this thing done? Can he turn this around? It's I don't want to say it's bad, but it's bad that he came to a team that has a lot of luggage going into this World Series or this postseason run. And knowing that they've had their blips as well, especially with the pitching staff and losing Gerrit Cole and not really having the real Verlander that, you know, we're used to having in that roster or that rotation. I mean, they're going out there with the guys that they can. They've been successful all season long. And I feel like a lot of these guys are playing their best for Dusty Baker, but it's just something about the month of October or November where he's a skipper is not turning out in his favor. I mean, can he turn this thing around? What pros and cons do you think the Astros can do within game five and getting out of Georgia alive?
Yeah, and you know, I'm actually pulling for Dusty Baker, Timeless. He's one of my favorite players and managers of all time. He's the godfather of baseball, so it'd be great to see him get a chip. He's had chances with the Giants, a few quality teams with Cincinnati, and now with Houston. You know, he also had some good years with the Cubs, but what they need to do is just play Houston Astros baseball. They need to play. They don't need to worry. It's one game at a time from here on out. You're just trying to go out there and play baseball. And I think if they do that, they're going to have the best chance. And I think if anyone can do it, it's this Houston Astros team. But, you're right. There is, Dusty Baker hasn't been successful in the postseason. So this is his second World Series. Hopefully he can get it done, and he's came close with the teams that I mentioned. But they just need to go out here, no stress, play baseball, and I think they'll be fine. They definitely need their pitching to buck down tonight. It's been good all series long, but it needs to be better tonight. They need to shut the they can't allow more than two runs because their offense has been shut down by this Atlanta Braves pitching staff. So they're going to have to match that and go out and just play baseball tonight.
I agree, and also just to get away from this one, I'll get away from this one after this. What offensive player for the Astros has to step up outside of Altuve? Because Altuve's actually been able to make contact and get the ball out of the park. Is it Correa? Is another member? Who do you think in the Astros roster? I'll say it right. Rotation is pitching, but within the roster that needs to step up.
I think Correa and Berkman need to step up. He's been, Correa's had a decent series, but Bregman has been pretty non-existent. So they're going to need that three-headed monster to step up tonight and then get quality at bats from the rest of the team. Maldonado, he had a good postseason. He's kind of faltered off in the World Series. So, I mean, they're going to need performance out of him as well.
Okay, I'll leave this alone as best as possible. Hopefully the Astros can continue to make this a series. Otherwise, the Braves will be hoisting the trophy in their new stadium, in their backyard. I think that would be kind of fitting for what they want because they just moved into this building not too long ago. But the reason why I'm hanging on to the Astros is I want to see if they do end up winning, what type of response they would give the world. And they have to run the table. They have to win the next three games to make that all possible. I heavily doubt it. I think the percentages are against them. But we'll see. We've seen stranger things happen in sports today, including baseball. So I'm going to get into the
I just have one more thing to add to this, and I want your opinion on this as well. You know, I played baseball in high school, and the name of the game, you're always trying to steal signs from your opponent. So it's been happening in baseball, you know, for the beginning of time, and it's still happening now. And a lot of people give the Astros flack for what they did, but it's a part of the game. That was, in my eyes, those were ingenious techniques. So if you don't want them to get your signs, you got to change the signs up. There's a lot of universal signs in baseball. You got to mix them up so they don't know what you're doing. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I think the Astros are unfairly persecuted for that, in my eyes, you know, because it's something that teams go out and do. You saw this year Toronto Blue Jays dropped their, you know, they come out and they have sheets tied on their wrist, and they're playing the Tampa Bay Rays, and one of the guys, I don't know his name, maybe you do, Timeless, but he was up to bat and he saw this happen, and he grabbed it and put it in his pocket and went back to the dugout. Well, after the inning, they realized, oh, what happened, and the manager came out and he was all yelling at the refs to get that back, and the umps are like, hey, you guys dropped it, you know, so it is what it is. I mean, this happens in baseball. It's a part of the game. You could see in college football, they got really great ideas. They're holding signs of, like, a chicken sandwich, a stop sign, and a Dallas Cowboy logo for a play. You know, how are you going to decipher that? Like, what's going on here? So, I mean, it's all a part of sports, and I think they're unfairly persecuted for it, but I want your opinion as well on this.
Well, you know, people are always going to say they want to see the game played fairly, but just like you said, there's been other teams that have done it, whether it's being caught or not. I mean, it's funny because I actually want to see the game be played right, but I understand if they got an edge that they may get past an umpire or something like that, or having the critical edge that they're not aware of. I mean, you have to be aware of everything. And not to say that the team that they're going up against is ready for them to steal pitching signs from somewhere in the outfield and they're taking advantage of your pitcher. That's another thing. But I don't know, because I don't know how many other teams may have gotten away with an advantage across the board. And I want it to be a situation where this game is actually won or played in the correct way. But, you know, and it's tough because I kind of measure this along the same lines of how New England was doing their thing and getting caught in several different situations, whether it was the spy gate or the air gate or the bounty gate, whatever they had happening. But, you know, if there's other coaches or skippers or things like that may say, you try this, and you know how they say there's holding on every play. So, you know, everybody's trying to gain an advantage to see how much they can get past the officials at the end of the day. So I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I understand that people will get mad and, you know, throw all type of boos or comments or throw things at these guys. I understand both sides of the coin. I'm not going to say one is better than the other, but it's not like if a coach in somebody else's backyard wouldn't try that if they got away with it once or twice before. They would try it as many times as possible until they did get caught. So it's up to the teams that continue to do this that do not get caught in these instances. So it is tough. I understand how these people feel, but again, it's who remains free of the charges. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's scenarios where you have Houston that got caught up in the situation and Cora going up to Boston. They had to hold his feet to the fire, too. So as much as they could try to stay clean from here on out or do it as efficient as possible is another thing.
Yeah, and here's what the people don't realize, Timeless. You know, like with the big steroid scandal, steroids doesn't make you a better baseball player. You still have to hit the ball. You know, it's hand-eye coordination. It's a lot of talent that's involved. Yeah, it may make you stronger. That's about it. But it's not turning you into the superhero baseball player. And all the people that were persecuted for that, these guys were all great ball players well before that even came into play. And, you know, you may know what sign's coming, but you still got to hit the ball. So, I mean, that's what it boils down to, too. You know, it's not like the Patriots where they're going out and hiding cameras. I mean, that to me, that's ridiculous there. When you're going spying on another team, that's at a whole nother level. And, you know, Belichick's been guilty of that for years. They just got fined again for doing it 2 years ago, you know, taping in Miami. So, I mean, having to spy there. So it's just, that's on a whole nother level. But these guys are still, you still got to hit the ball. You may know a high heater's coming or a curveball, but you still got to hit that ball.
I agree. And it's not that easy to hit a 90 to 100 mile an hour fastball. You know what I'm saying? That's the one thing that, you know, gets me angry at, whether they're getting the edge or you know, using performance enhancing drugs and things of that nature is not easy for these guys to get to a pitcher that's a lefty barreling downhill with that pitch and hitting anywhere from 97 to 101. It's not easy. So that's the one thing that bothers me about the way that they're ruling, holding these players out due to whatever edge they may have had. So we will see. Game five is amongst us. Hopefully Atlanta could close the door. Otherwise, this goes back to Texas, and this becomes a very interesting series, to say the least. Okay. The next thing that I have going on right now, I will go over the top 25 in college football, in which this is very interesting, Sports City. We have a little interesting shakeup, and I want to get into this. So, first and foremost, Thursday night, Coastal Carolina wins their matchup up against Troy, 35-28. This is followed up by Saturday's events, and it follows. Georgia wins their matchup in the state rivalry up against Florida, 34-7. Cincinnati wins their matchup up against Tulane, 31-12. Oklahoma cruises at home, winning this game 52-21. The Big Ten matchup of the day, Ohio State beats Penn State 33-24. The rivalry, if you will, Big Brother, Little Brother, another Big Ten matchup. Michigan State wins their matchup 37-33 and remains unbeaten. I will come back to that. I'm going to keep rolling. The next one is Oregon. Oregon wins their matchup 52-29 up against Colorado. Wisconsin wins their matchup up against Iowa 27-7. Auburn wins their matchup up against Ole Miss 31-20. Notre Dame wins their matchup up against North Carolina 44-34. Mississippi State beats Kentucky in an upset 31-17 in Mississippi State. Wake Forest cruises in a beatdown up against Duke 45-7. Oklahoma State wins their matchup up against Kansas 55-3. Baylor comes back and beats Texas 31-24. The Miami Hurricanes upset Pittsburgh 38-34 in Pittsburgh. Another upset, Houston is at home, upsetting SMU, who was unbeaten at the time, 44-37. San Diego State loses their matchup with another upset brewing, with Fresno State winning 30-20. Another upset again, West Virginia beats Iowa State 38-31. And to round out the situation in a basketball game, in the top 25 seeded team, BYU wins at home up against Virginia 66-49. People, if you did not watch this game with BYU and Virginia, just let me tell you this, the score at halftime, people, was 42-38 in favor of Virginia. Virginia ended up only scoring a touchdown after that, even though their quarterback Armstrong did get hurt, and I see how it goes down. They ended up losing this game 66-49. Shout out to BYU. Their running back went off, and Algier went off for, I think, 266 yards. If I'm not mistaken, I'm actually pulling the stats up now. I think it was 266 yards off of like 29 carries. He had an excellent day running the ball. And that's the one thing about BYU that puzzles me, is they win these games, but the big games is where they fall apart. And it's like, how can they fall apart at these times when everybody questions a lot of these teams that come out of that area or region, being BYU, your Air Force, or your Boise State? They have to continue to run the table to get recognized. But BYU is 25th ranked. And like I said, Algier had a 29-carry day, 266 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns. Their quarterback, Hall, he went 22-37, 349 yards passing, and 3 touchdowns thrown. And Armstrong, the quarterback from Virginia, he had a good day too, even though he threw 2 interceptions. 22-34, 337 yards passing, 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He also led them in rushing with 11 carries, 94 yards rushing, and 2 touchdowns. Incredible day for a quarterback. There was one game that I wanted to mention, and this is going on far too long for a city. And this is just me personally. I don't speak on behalf of everybody or anybody here. But the run that Michigan has been on, Michigan has been unbeaten up until this point. I really feel like they were charged up enough to run the table as best as they possibly could until they face a strong team or Ohio State. They have not played Ohio State. This loss right here, it puzzles me to see if they are ready to win up against Ohio State, and I don't think so. And they said if he loses to either right here, Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State, his job may be questioned. So this is the scenario that I hold in front of Harbaugh at this time. Eric, your thoughts on any of the games, or if you'd like to speak on the situation with Harbaugh out in Ann Arbor in the Big House.
Well, as far as Harbaugh, I think he's on borrowed time. You know what I mean? He's kind of in a win-now situation, so I think that was a big loss. I do give him credit because the last 6 years, Michigan has been pretty much non-existent. So they got back to relevancy this year and, you know, obviously had a chance to go up in the top five. They lost to their rivals. I think it dropped them down to number eight. So, I mean, they're still going to be there. There's still time. But Harbaugh is on borrowed time, and they're in a win-now situation with him. And I want to get this thrown out there, Timeless. Cincinnati, number two. They got this running back, Ford. Kind of reminds me of the little Barry Sanders out there. Extremely quick and agile, jukes people, and he's just running rampant. And they got a pretty good defense, and they got a pretty good offense as well. But what's going to happen? You know, I think I'm excited to see it. I'm ready to see it. So I hope they stay poised at number two and get into the playoffs. But I want your opinion. Are they going to be able to bang with a team like Georgia or Alabama or Oklahoma?
It'd be tough. I want to see it because they're driven from what happened to them last year. I think they can. I think that everything that they've gone through throughout the past couple of months, I don't want to just say a year because it hasn't been a full year yet from when they got ousted last season in the past January. But I think that they have to be able to be credible to go up against these guys. I think they can. Will they win that game? I don't think so. But I think this is a shot where they could score just as much as the rest of them. That offense has been electric. And like you said, Jerome Ford has been running the heck out of the ball. There's some games where he could get slowed down, but I think the odds are in his favor at the end of the day in a lot of the matchups because he's a little shorter than your average running back. So he's one of those surprise element type of running backs where he sees a hole is a little too late for a linebacker to pick him up. So it's more or less a third level guy that has to make the tackle. I mean, your thoughts on it. Do you think they can compete with the best of them also?
Yeah, I do. And I've been talking with a lot of people. Because they're like, oh, no, there's no way Alabama, you know, their defense and this and that. But it's like it doesn't matter. These are big guys. Ford's going to just run all over them, in my opinion. And they got a good passing attack, too. And the thing with Cincinnati, they do have a top-notch defense. So I'm excited to see it. A lot of people are kind of writing them off, but, you know, you can't. This team has a well-coached and well-balanced team from defense to offense. So it's going to be exciting to see. They're obviously the underdog, but I'm pulling for them, and like you, I definitely think it can be done.
How about your thoughts on how Oklahoma turned this thing around, and now they've become a threat, especially with the young quarterback in Caleb Williams, the way that he's been able to take over after you had a situation where their quarterback was supposed to be ready to go to the league this year, one of the, I want to say, top five or top 10 quarterbacks going toward the NFL. He was so shaky in that Texas game. They took him out. He has not seen play since. How do you feel about Oklahoma turning things around with a freshman quarterback that wasn't supposed to be playing this year?
I think it's huge, and he's making statements. He went out yesterday and threw for 5 touchdowns. And it's funny you mention that because we had a buddy and we were doing bets on a college parlay. And we had picked Oklahoma before the news broke that their starter was getting benched and they were going with this freshman. And it's like, oh, no, we lost. The parlay is going to be busted. And he came out in that game and played stellar as well. And then he just solidified in my eyes yesterday. Like, this guy's for real. Oklahoma is another team that has a chance to go all the way this year. So, and of course, we all know they're well coached as well. So they got a legendary coach there on their sideline. So, I'm excited to see what's happening. This is a great college football season.
Okay, one more quick topic, or I may have two. One more quick topic, though, that before I do get into the picks and predictions and things of that nature, UFC fight in which Jan Blachowicz, the champion at the time, had a fight up against Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira actually beats Jan Blachowicz in a submission in the second round, taking his title from him. And Blachowicz has been on the run for quite some time, taking care of business up against the likes of Luke Rockhold and also beating Israel Adesanya. This is a huge loss for him, going up against a 42-year-old Glover Teixeira, where if Glover probably lost this fight, I don't think he would have probably had a situation of getting a big fight. He wins this and gets the belt of the division. Now he becomes the hunted, even though he's the guy to beat. A very incredible situation, a turn of events. I did not think that this would be a situation where Blachowicz would lose his belt at this point in time. I'm stunned, and Glover, I definitely have to tip my cap on you winning this bout last night. Crazy way of submission where Jan has been pretty good on his feet, keeping a lot of that in front of him, and winning and Glover winning this fight, basically choking him out due to submission. That was excellent work for Glover Teixeira. I definitely got to tip my hat because him being an older fighter, you don't really see a lot of these older fighters not even going as long, but being able to get the belt is another thing too. So I definitely have to tip my hat to him. I wonder which light heavyweight steps up to him, because a lot of these guys are stepping down and out of the ranks. Do they set up a rematch for Jan to get the belt back? This is something that I want to watch closely. Eric, I don't know if you've seen this. If not, I'll get away from it because I do have some other questions before we jump into week 8 for the NFL week.
Yeah, no, Timeless. Unfortunately, I didn't see it, but it sounds like a great fight. You know, the underdog won, and I just want to throw this out here with you, too, really quick, since we're on the MMA and the world of boxing. Canelo versus Caleb Plant. It sounds like a situation that could happen with that Canelo fight. So, and Caleb Plant's, heavily underdog, but I believe he can beat him. I just want your quick thoughts on that, too, if you think Caleb Plant can beat Canelo Alvarez.
I'm glad that this is my brother, Eric Big Easy Gross. If you do not know, he put me in a situation right now that I was trying to hold my horses on at least until Wednesday. But why not? Why not here? It's Halloween. Let me get spooky. Caleb Plant will beat Canelo Alvarez. And I know that a lot of people won't believe me. I know a lot of people will roll their eyes. I know that he is a heavy underdog. I feel like he is more mobile than Canelo. Even though Canelo is probably more powerful, stronger than him, I feel that if Caleb fights the right fight, he can stay away from a lot of damage and actually do a lot of damage to Canelo. The last person to beat Canelo was Floyd Mayweather. And guess who trains in the Mayweather gym and basically practices that his kind of style? It's Caleb Sweet Hand Plant. And I'm going with him. I really think Caleb pulls this off. Canelo has been under the radar, not fighting consistently. I mean, even though when he does fight, he does take care of business. I can't hold that away from him. He does win his bouts, but he's not as consistent as I need to see him. Like with the other guys that have been in the boxing ranks that get 2 or 3 fights a season or what have you, Canelo would be happy or content with fighting one fight. And that's that. There's a lot of people in his division that would love to come after him. He's not consistent. Why not give it to a guy as hungry as Caleb Plant is? And all of the things that have happened to him in his past, more or less stuff out of his control, and now he's been able to control his destiny. I think his time is here and now. I think he wins this fight up against Canelo Alvarez. Your thoughts on this upcoming fight, Eric? Who wins, Caleb Plant or Canelo Alvarez?
Absolutely, Timeless. I'm looking forward to this fight, and like you, I definitely think Caleb Plant pulls this out. You can't overlook his record. He's undefeated as well. More than half of his wins have come by knockout, and Canelo Alvarez is kind of like, reminds me of McGregor. When you get flapping your neck like that, bad things can happen. Let your fighting do the talking. You don't need to sit and trash talk and be cocky. I mean, that usually backfires. And I think he's doing that because he knows this is his most worthy opponent that he's fought in a long time, and he could very well lose this fight. So I'm looking forward to it. And, yep, Caleb Plant comes out the new champion.
I will be watching this closely. I'm at the edge of my seat. Believe me, I cannot wait to watch this fight. There's also another one with Javante Tank Davis. He's fighting a guy. Rolly. Rolly is a guy that he's fighting. I want to see that fight as well. This is an interesting fight because Rolly is very unorthodox in the way he fights, and he's been a knockout artist too. But everybody knows Tank's reputation. He is the knockout artist of boxing right now in the weight class that he's been fighting at. So we'll see how that goes down. But definitely, this is a very good question. I'm glad that you threw this one at me, Eric, before we slide into at least the couple of games that we have here. I think there's two teams on a bye this week coming into week eight, and we have enough time to, like, go over a lot of what we have, injuries and matchup, things of that nature. So Sports City, settle on in. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next hour or so here in Sports City. And like I said, week eight is here. And there's a lot of teams actually fighting for playoff position right now, or not even to just say playoff position, but better positioning, if you will, approaching the month of, well, we're coming up on November, but we're getting close to December where everybody really starts to make a break from the pack or what have you. So I'll get into the first game, as of which there was a game that took place on Thursday night in which Arizona finally loses their first game of the season, and Green Bay wins their matchup and continuing their streak after losing the first game of the season, winning 7 in a row, winning this game 24-21. Eric, your thoughts on this matchup? What impressed you, especially with the Packers without two of their receivers, one being Davante Adams? Rodgers clearly took care of business and holding this Packers team together as best as possible. How do you feel about their ways moving forward?
Absolutely timeless. This is just another icing on the cake, if you will, that you could never count out Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people, Green Bay's done. They're missing Davante Adams. They're going to lose, and he made it happen. The thing that kind of shocked me was how the game ended. What kind of play was that? You know what I mean? So I thought Arizona was going to come out and pull it out in the end, and that dud of a play where it looked like the wide receiver out there was lost in space, and right into the hands of Green Bay. And the game was over. But you can't take anything away from Green Bay. They got knocked on their butt the first week of the season, 38-3 by the Saints, and they have came out and handled business since. I think Green Bay is a credible threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. You know, what I saw with Arizona, their record speaks, but there was a lot of, errors in that game, and Green Bay exploited it. So they're going to have to touch some of that up if they want to be considered one of the top teams. But after seeing that game, I don't think come playoff time, they could beat the likes of Green Bay, Tampa Bay. And I think those are the top two, favorites right now in my eyes, Green Bay and Tampa Bay, to win the Super Bowl or come out, in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. But yeah, that was a great game. Really entertaining from start to finish. And Aaron Rodgers, MVP, came out on top.
And not just saying a receiver. This isn't just any receiver. This is AJ Green. AJ Green. I get it. AJ Green has not been himself, I want to say, the past two or three seasons in Cincinnati. There was one play last season in which interception happened, and he wasn't even trying to tackle the guy that was actually trying to run the other way. He just running alongside him, like, didn't have his, like, I really didn't feel like his head was in the game or things or what have you. But in that play, there's 14 seconds on the clock. You're running upfield, but it looks like he's run blocking, but he's, like, it's an RPO. And the way that Kyler Murray set it up, all he has to do is look for the ball or be ready for the play. I think he's more or less just going through the motions. If he turns his body or his head, however it goes, it's basically a stack where he has the cornerback behind him. He can't do anything but pick up a pass interference or, something bad is going to have to happen back there. AJ Green was nowhere prepared or ready for the pass to come to him. I'm so, like, furious how that happened because it's like, okay, this would have made the game an interesting one, but I got to tip my hat to the defender being ready for the play. But this is brutal to lose a game like that, especially while Kyler Murray went on a 95-yard drive. That thing started at the goal line. The Arizona Cardinals defense put up a goal line stand, stopped Aaron Rodgers and company at the goal line, and went all the way downfield to the five and got stopped by an interception, that was brutal. Things happen. Things do happen. But, A.J. Green, you're not even answering any questions. No cameraman, no reporter has been in his face at all with any questions. He has been able to survive the storm as best as possible. This is something that clearly had me brutally upset. But I do have to tip my hat to what Aaron Rodgers has been able to do with the guys that he did go to war with, Randall Cobb being the guy that he wanted there. Randall Cobb didn't really do that much in between the 20s, but he had three catches for 15 yards and two touchdowns. So this is how important he was, at least at, you know, goal line stances and things of what have you. He's a mismatch in short yardage situation, and Aaron Jones also had an efficient day running the ball also, but he needed more yardage to run. But nevertheless, this is what they needed to win the game between both of them. They had three touchdowns there, and they had a field goal from Mason Crosby, which actually sealed the deal in this game. I don't know which way this team goes. I know one thing that's brutal about this situation. Before the game, J.J. Watt has been ruled out for the season, in which there was the game last week up against the Texans, his former team. He not only had a torn labrum, rotator cuff, things of what have you. I think it's like four injuries in one, if I'm not mistaken. From 2015 till now, 2021, J.J. Watt has missed 15, 16, 17, 19, 20, and now 21. This is six seasons where he's missed either time or missed the complete season due to injury. 2018 was the only season that he found time to be on the field. This is tough, because I feel like this is one of the guys that you cannot not like loving. You know, like, this guy is a great guy, plays incredible football, 6'6", 300-plus-pound guy, a guy that wrecks havoc up in the field, and he cannot play football just due to injury and things breaking down on his body. Your thoughts on this, Eric, with J.J. Watt being ruled out for the season again?
Yeah, this is a devastating blow to the Arizona Cardinals, because they had a really good defense, and I think he was an anchor and a big leader for that defense. And it, just like you said, this guy's a great football player. I mean, you can't – how could you not love this guy? He goes out and plays the game with passion. He goes out and plays the game right. He's a great teammate. And it's sad to see, because, you know, when you're playing at an elite level like that, your body takes a lot of punishment, and, you know, it starts breaking down. He's getting a little older. He's had a great career, so it was kind of nice to see this happening for him, because the Cardinals, you know, do have a decent shot at winning the Super Bowl or making it there, and now this is going to hurt them tremendously. So it's sad to see. You know, I was happy when he got out of Houston, even though the Cardinals are a division rival of, you know, my team. But, you know, the Cardinals are the only ones that I don't have animosity towards. Like, I can't stand the Seahawks, can't stand the Rams. But, you know, it's always nice to see the Cardinals put out a good football team. Kyler Murray was extremely persecuted going into the draft. This kid is not going to be able to play. He's too small, and the list goes on with what they were saying. And he's came out and proved everybody wrong, and he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. So this is a huge blow to the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know what it means for J.J. Watt's career, you know, but if he can't get out there and stay healthy and he's sustaining these injuries, you know, I think it's coming to an end of an era here soon. So it's sad to see, but nonetheless, I hope he can get back out there and stay healthy for next year.
Do you smell what I'm cooking in this pot? Do you really know me that good? Like, who are you? Like, are you some alien or something? So, with you being on top of your stuff, you already alluded to it. Is this the end of J.J. Watt's career?
Yeah, I mean, I hope not, Timeless, but it's kind of looking like that. He's getting up there in age. He's been playing at a high level for so long. And what we've seen the last 3 years is injury-plagued season. So, I mean, it's kind of looking that right way. We'll have to see what he says and, you know, rehabbing and stuff like that, and see where he's at the beginning of the season next year to determine that. So, but I mean, unfortunately, it is kind of, you know, pointing in that direction.
Here's why I say this, Eric, and I feel bad, like, going down this road. I kind of have to. JJ, with me saying this, I'm going to say this before I even get into this. I love you as a person, a football player, the man that you've been for the city of Houston, everything that you've done in football, defensive player of the year so many different times, should have been an MVP, Taylor, what have you. He had a teammate in Brian Cushing who got caught up in a PED use scandal. They used to work out every offseason together, every single day. Now it's kind of like JJ's body is breaking down, and then you think about the lines of which way Brian Cushing went. I'm hoping this isn't something that's happening to JJ Watt's body if his body is breaking down to the use of a PED. And that's what bothers me because I love this guy. I'm not saying this to be brutal to him. I'm not saying this to be brutal to him. But this could be something that is really happening to him. For him to miss that much time and that many years back-to-back to not only where I felt bad about Houston letting him go, I'm like, what is wrong with you? How can you let JJ go? But then it's like, this guy's been out of his situation at least four times in Houston, once in Arizona. This makes it questionable. And it's like, okay, now here goes the icing on the cake. He goes through surgery. He goes through physical therapy. He starts to work out, get ready for the 2022-2023 season. But here goes icing on the cake. He's going to be 33 years old. Every single play that J.J. Watt plays, he is not a receiver. He is not a running back. He is not a quarterback. He's not a linebacker. He's not a safety. He's none of those positions. He is a lineman, a defensive lineman, where he has to force the issue physically, every single snap he's on the field, he's going to get hit regardless, whether it's his shoulder, whether it's his pec, whether it's his bicep, whatever he's tearing or hurting on his body. This is something that JJ needs to think about right now as time actually keeps on ticking for him. I don't know, but if I had to put my assessment, this may be the last that we see of JJ Watt. I feel like this may be the end of J.J. Watt's career. And it's sad because there's already a guy that's there in Arizona or not even on the roster, but I feel like should be, and that's Larry Fitzgerald. And Larry's not even coming back to this team. And it's like, get on that roster. Like, help them make a run. Like, this is an interesting roster that you guys are ahead of the curve. Like make it happen. And he's looking like he's going to settle for the rest of this remaining of the retirement and go on to greener pastures. If J.J. Watt can't come back 100% strong, or if he's on the field with that big brace all across his shoulder and bicep or things, what have you, is it really worth breaking your body down even more, J.J.? Like, is it worth it? Like I'm here on your side. I'm not saying this to be critical. Like, this is actually a sad story, not a guy that I'm actually picking on, because the miraculous things he did in his NFL career, I can't take away from him. Well, I again repeat this right now. This may be the end of 99 in the NFL. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to this before we get away from it?
No, Timeless. I think we have pretty much chopped it up nicely for everyone out there. And, I mean, we could only hope it's not, but it's looking that way.
Okay, so let me get into the remainder of Week 8. The first game that I have are the Carolina Panthers going up against the Atlanta Falcons. This is in Atlanta. How do you feel about this game? Who do you like in the matchup and why?
Well, Carolina's kind of faltered. You know, losing McCaffrey, I don't want to a lot of people are like, oh, it's because of McCaffrey's out. But Darnold started off hot at the beginning of the year. Losing a running back, you got to have guys ready to step up. Obviously, you can't replace that type of star, but you got to have a quality running back coming in and at least doing their job, getting you some yards. But the glaring problem I have with Carolina is the dropped balls. What's happened to Anderson out there? I mean, he's dropping passes all game long, every game, the last three games, you know, and Moore hasn't even been that much more consistent. And on the other hand, the Atlanta Falcons, they're on a three-game winning streak now. Matty Ice is playing good. Calvin Ridley, I look for him to have a big game today, and I look for the Atlanta Falcons to consider their winning ways today and going up 4-0.
To let you continue, Calvin Ridley has been ruled out.
Oh, well, that could be a problem then. So, but they're at home. I still look for Matty Ice to hit his targets and win. So Carolina's just been too inconsistent. They went up against the Giants team last week. That's missing their starting tight end, both of their starting receivers, and their starting running back, and got completely annihilated. So I look for their woes to continue today in Atlanta. They're hot. They got back into the winning ways, and I look for it to continue.
Speaking on this continuing, I agree with you. I think the Falcons win this game also. The crazy part about this continuing is Sam Darnold was off to an interesting start to the season. I will say hot because he won three games in a row in which he beat the Jets, he beat the Saints, which I will give him credit for in that Saints game, and he beat the Texans in which Christian McCaffrey was available. I will be fair in that. But ever since then, they've been on a four-game losing streak. Christian McCaffrey's not on the field, and they can't put it on Christian McCaffrey because Hubbard's actually been a decent running back in spelling him. So how do you feel about Sam Darnold at this point in time now that this thing has turned around and he's looking like himself from New York with the Jets?
I got a good friend that's a Panther fan, and we kind of talked about it this morning. He's out there trying to force stuff. Instead of, like, you can look at the first three games, he was out there calm, poised, making good decisions. I mean, look in that Giants game last week. He had two receivers bunched up with five defenders and tried to force that in there, and, of course, it ended up in an interception. So he's going out there. He's in panic mode to try to be great instead of just playing football and let it come to him. And being consistent, he's out there in a panic, I think, because, there's a lot of pressure on him. He was supposed to be the face of the New York Jets. The Jets let him go, so that kind of should stick in people's mind. Why did the Jets let him walk and opt to get a new quarterback? So he has a lot to prove this year. This could be the last chance Sam Darnold gets to be a starting quarterback in this league. And if he stops, and just get on the field, get out there and play football one play at a time. Don't try to make stupid plays, try to be great all in one game. Just go out there and make plays. And to his defense, Timeless, and you've seen this too, so has everybody else, the dropped balls have got to stop. You know, that's a confidence killer too. When you're out there making passes and your wide receivers are dropping everything you throw to them. So that definitely has to stop. But he needs to stop panicking, trying to force things, and just get back to playing like he did the first three games. And, he can turn the corner. But if that continues and the drop balls continue, it's going to be a problem, and Sam Darnold will end up being a backup the rest of his career in my eyes.
You're saying this season. I'm saying this game. There's too much out here on the line right now that they're talking about getting another quarterback, i.e., Deshaun Watson has been talked about potentially coming to Houston. They try to throw Christian McCaffrey's name in the bunch, and then you have the coach and the GM saying that he wasn't a part of the discussion, but Deshaun may come there if Miami doesn't make this happen in the wake of what's going on in Houston right now. If he doesn't figure this out soon, I'll be fair enough for this game right here up against Atlanta because it's a division rivalry. But if he doesn't get something done after this week, which I feel like they can lose, I'm going with the Falcons with you. I think he may be out of a job potentially. Or have somebody right behind him threatening him at this point in time. We do have Mr. Controversy in the building, James. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great, Ty. Ready to talk some football. Awesome games this week.
Your thoughts on this first game? Carolina and Atlanta up against the Falcons. Who do you like and why? Ridley is out.
Ridley is out. I don't think that matters all that much. I still think I'm going to take the Falcons anyway. Really, Cordarrell Patterson's been kind of a spark plug for this offense. And the on the opposing offense, the Carolina Panthers have not been able to get anything going. So I'm gonna take the Falcons.
Your thoughts quickly before we get away from it on Sam Darnold. Is his time running out as a runner of this team?
Until they find somebody better. I know that Deshaun Watson's name's been tossed around a lot with Carolina, even with the offers of Christian McCaffrey. But I mean, yeah, the Houston Texans love their running backs. Look at what they traded for David Johnson. But I can't see that there would have to be significantly more compensation, like two picks and Christian McCaffrey, especially since McCaffrey hasn't been healthy for 2 years. So that definitely has to raise a red flag for the Houston Texans in my mind. But if they continue to lose and they get a top 10 draft pick, I could easily see them drafting a quarterback in next year's draft. Otherwise, they'd have to, like I said, they have to find somebody better before they straight up bench him. But I don't think it's going to be that hard. They should have kept Teddy Bridgewater. That's what they should have done. But, you know, that's just me. Hello? Last on?
What a nightmare for Carolina, though, huh? Great start.
Yep.
One of the top defenses, and then this. So, I mean, they got to turn the corner fast.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, once they get McCaffrey back, if they ever get McCaffrey back at full bore, then the offense all of a sudden becomes passable again. It's the one major piece. Like, Chuba Hubbard is not Mike Davis, and I think that the Carolina Panthers are realizing that now, and they're also learning that they have to spell Christian McCaffrey over time. But. I think we lost Ty for a brief moment.
I'm here. Of course, I was running my mouth on mute. So the Miami Dolphins up against the Buffalo Bills. Is there anybody in this kitchen that believes the Dolphins can go into West New York and stun the Bills?
Not a chance, Timeless. Yeah. This is a Buffalo Bills team that was coming off of a tough loss against the Titans, and they had a bye week. They're going to come out firing, and they're going to torch the Miami Dolphins.
What's the spread in this game?
14.
14.
Yep.
I think I would even lay the points. I'd probably lay the points. I agree,
and this is bad because, as I just said about Sam Darnold, Tua, you're standing that hourglass is running out too. Your team has been linked to trying to get this on there too. This is not a good look, especially the way that you guys have been losing games right now. The Dolphins are now 1-6 on the season. They may be facing 1-7 going up against this Buffalo Bills team, who, again, repeated, they just came off of a bye and a loss, too, up against an interesting foe in the AFC up against the Tennessee Titans, in which Josh Allen actually was the one that had the ball twice in his hands and things fell apart late. The next matchup I have is a very interesting one. The San Francisco 49ers go to Chicago up against the Chicago Bears, and there's a lot of stuff going on in Chicago, and not just the football team, but more or less the coaching staff. I want to see how you guys feel about this, James. I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on this game, the Bears or the Niners? The Bears are at home in Soldier.
I'm going to take the 49ers. I mean, the Niners haven't been the greatest, and they're dealing with some obvious injury issues themselves, plus Jimmy G's back under the helm. But the Bears have fallen into the same problem they've been running into for decades now. They're back into a position where their defense is well above average and their offense is terrible. And until they fix that, and Matt Nagy was supposed to be the fixer, but he's not fixing it. I imagine that if they lose the next two games, Nagy might be out soon, like mid-season. But either way, I'm taking the 49ers to win this one.
I'm actually agreeing with you, James. I'm going to go with the Niners as well. Something about this, the Bears are underdogs by 4 points in Chicago. San Francisco is coming across the country, or at least to the Midwest, to make this matchup happen. And it's just something to me. I like Justin Fields as of him coming out of college, but something just hasn't turned over. Whether it's him not being able to be efficient every game, but I just don't know or get what's going on within the offense, including I think one of the receivers they have should be performing better in Allen Robinson, and he has not been there for these guys. But, Eric, this is your team. Your thoughts on how your Niners pull this off in Chicago.
Yeah, I just want to comment on Chicago really quick, too, as well. I think Justin Fields can be a good quarterback in this league under the right guidance and coaches around him. He has a hell of an arm. The only problem is he needs to get more accurate. I mean, we saw last week, I mean, him busting out, running out of the pocket, and just launching balls. But the problem is it's going 10 to 15 yards over the receiver's head. So he's another one that just needs to go out there, calm down, try not to make these big plays, just go down there and make some short passes, get the offense moving, run when it's open. It seems like he hasn't been able to decipher when he should run and throw the ball. He's had chances where he could have easily picked up the first down, but he's running and then throws on the run to try to force the pass when he's, you know, could have got a first down with his legs. So, I listened to a podcast. Jerry Rice and Steve Young have a podcast. And I agree with what they said 100%. Getting rid of DeForest Buckner was a horrible decision. They lost Joe Staley that year as well. And then Richard Sherman. These three guys were the locker room. They were the leaders. And the 49ers, they have no leaders that have stepped up. The locker room is in disarray. How Kyle Shanahan handled the whole quarterback debacle this year, That puts a lot of damper on the quarterback situation. It was a blow to Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. It wasn't fair to both of them how they've handled this. I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch era is going to come to an end at the end of this season. There's been high expectations. There's a boatload of talent on this team. Brandon Ayuk was supposed to make a breakout season this year. Kyle Shanahan's pretty much not even having him involved in the offense. So it's a head-scratcher, and I agree. Shanahan, this is his last year. We've had a ton of talent. Yeah, we've had injuries, but still you have a lot of talent to be playing this game. They lost to the Colts last week in a monsoon-type situation, and it's like the Niners are used to this, type of weather. The Colts are a dome team. It's going to be a problem. But as we all saw, it was a problem for the Niners. They kept getting all these defensive pass interference calls and the worst, opportunity times that on the field, and it destroyed them. Their offense looked lackluster. I'm going with the Niners in this game, but it's going to be if they play how they played the last two games, they're going to mess up and make this a close game. So they need to buck down. They need to play well today to even have a chance and to, keep Kyle Shanahan there, because a 2-4 start when they were supposed to be one of the tops in the NFC this year, and, it's been a problem. So there's no locker room leader. They need to get something going, and someone needs to step up. I'd like to see Jimmy Garoppolo step up, Eric Armstead, someone has got to step up and take control of this team in the locker room, because I think their confidence has taken a big punch.
Interesting. So you think Shanahan and John Lynch are gone. Interesting. This is interesting.
Steve Young and Jerry Rice, they have this podcast, and they were both talking about that, and they were talking about John Lynch needs to go too. Heck of a football player, one of the best safeties, But, I mean, he's made a lot of questionable picks, a lot of questionable moves. You know, how you can trade one of your best tackles and one of the top defensive tackles in the league and a locker room leader, and you trade him away. It makes no sense. So, and then no one stepped up to take that locker room leader role and to get them, you know, you got to have a healthy locker room in this league if you want to be a good team. And no one stepped up. It's in disarray. They said, you know, it's Halloween, and he's like, yeah, it's a terror in the 49ers locker room right now.
Wow. Interesting enough, I can see the Shanahan situation, and I think everything kind of spills from that Super Bowl loss and them trying to regain the strength. And I guess it kind of goes hand-in-hand because they got rid of some of the pieces that they should have kept. I don't know. We'll see. We'll wait and see. I don't want to over-speculate because you know more about that because you're closer to the situation than I am. I want to see if the Niners do make heads roll, and that's the two of them. The next matchup we have are the Pittsburgh Steelers going into Cleveland, in which both these guys are fighting for position in the AFC North. Here's, I'm going to come right back to you. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-3. The Browns are 4-3, and Baker is starting. The Cleveland Browns are favored by 4. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
Baker Mayfield is back, huh? That's interesting. I thought he was going to miss some significant time. Well, we already seen what their running game has done. So this is huge for the Cleveland Browns, getting their starting quarterback back. They have one of the best defenses in all of the NFL. They're at home. Their fans are hungry. I think Cleveland takes care of business today. Pittsburgh has been way too inconsistent, and I think Big Ben's going to be teed off on by Clowney and Garrett today.
Okay, James, your thoughts on this game, the Steelers versus the Browns in Cleveland. Who do you like and why?
I like the Browns because of that run game. That run game is nasty. Chubb is back, and the kid who's taking over for Kareem Hunt, what's his name? De'Ernest Johnson is filling the role very well. So I was kind of concerned when Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb went down that was going to be a real strain on this offense, but that running game is continuing to go without a hitch, and that's why I think brings the Browns to the better side of this. So I'm going to take the Browns.
I agree. I'm going to go with the Browns. They're at home. They get Nick Chubb back. I don't know how successful he will be up against this Pittsburgh defense, but at least there's a shot for him to at least put up some yardage, maybe be close to the red zone and get a score also. I think that helps open things up for Baker. But, Baker, enough is enough. You're forcing yourself back out here on the field where Case Keenum did all right. I don't want to say good, great, or what have you, but you're forcing yourself out here on the field, and if you can't make those throws, Jarvis Landry's not here, Odell is hurting, you have to be able to win this game in a favorable one. While this is a division battle, this counts double. I'm going with Cleveland. Baker, I will be watching you closely. The next game I have is a pressure game for both teams. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to Ford Field up against the Detroit Lions. Both of these teams are in tough, shambles situations. We will see who wins this game. I will come to you first on this one, James. Your thoughts, your Eagles or your former Lions?
I'm going to take the – if the Lions are going to win a game this season, this is going to be the game they win. This is kind of where I'm at right now. It's just – I think, you know, I'm going to go with the Lions this week. I think that this is the game the Lions win. The Lions are looking at down the barrel of a really tough schedule. Like, the only other games that they've got that are really, like, high-key winnable is, like, the Bears when they get to play them. And that's it. Like, they don't have a lot of really easy matchups in spite of having a fourth-place schedule. But I think that I'm going to take the Lions in this one. They're going to get off the snide, turn that 0 into a 1, and they're going to do that against the Eagles.
Eric, your thoughts on this matchup, the Eagles versus the Lions, in which I bet you could not guess who is the leading rusher out of all of the playmakers in this game.
The leading rusher, huh?
Guess who he is.
I'm going to have to say Swift, Timeless.
Jalen Hurts leads this game with 364 yards rushing out of everybody, including the running back.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to need a lot of that in this game. You know, they traded away Hurts, one of their best offensive weapons, so that's kind of a head-scratcher, but I look for Detroit to win today. They've in a sense, and you've seen this, Timeless, you've had a front row seat, they've shot themselves in the foot all year long. Goal line turnovers. They have no problem moving the ball. We all saw they had a chance to beat the Rams in L.A. last week. They played a heck of a game and a goal line turnover to end the game. So I look for them to get their first one at home today. They're a lot better than their record shows. Like I said, mistakes have killed this team all year long.
I am going to say this. I am going to agree with the panel. I think the Lions can pull this game out. But here is an interesting situation, and I'm going to say. They're at home up against a team that has not been playing well. They have gotten their wins this season, being the Eagles. They have two wins in which they went on the road twice to win two of their games. They have not been successful in Philadelphia, in which one game I remember vividly was up against the then Carolina Panthers, in which this was one of the losses within the losing streak that Carolina's been up to. Jared Goff cannot hide behind this situation any longer. Even though Jamal Williams has been ruled out, I feel like that he has enough to go out there and win this game. If he cannot pull this game in, they have to start looking elsewhere for another quarterback. I don't know where. I really want them to go after guys like Cam. There's no need to just sit on him while Campbell himself says Jared has to step up. There's no more excuses for Jared Goff any longer. For you to be the guy that got to a Super Bowl, being a first pick or what have you, I get it. You don't have that many tools in the toolbox to go to war with. But right now, you're up against a team who's struggling just like you. You have to be able to pull this game in. If not, they have to go across the board and start looking for another quarterback. David Blau and the backups are not the future in Detroit. They're not. You can't just bring these guys in and just continue to lose games unless this is your option after you've made the trade for Stafford and picks. And we already know they're in a rebuild. They're already in a rebuild. But these are games that we could have, especially while within the first seven, at least five of the games are winnable. At least five.
Yep.
And the ball has been in his hands late in games.
So, Todd, do you think that the Lions go after Deshaun Watson?
Hold on, I couldn't hear you. Say it again, James, and I'll get to Eric on the next one. Say it again.
Do you think that the Lions should go after Deshaun Watson? I mean, it's gonna cost multiple first round picks. So and the Lions are a guaranteed top 10 pick this year, but it's probably gonna cost a second first round pick next year at the bare minimum.
It depends. I know the Lions won't do it, so I don't think so. The Lions won't move their feet. They accept a lot of what's coming to them. They don't go out there and make the big splash. If they did, it'd be incredible. But they don't jump out of their skin at all. It's something about the Ford family. And they hold the feet to the fire of the general manager, and they don't move that much. I don't think Detroit will make that move. But if they can, go get him and let him turn this thing around. He's at least one of those quarterbacks that's generational talent. I definitely agree with that. But I don't think Detroit makes a move. Eric, your thoughts before we get to the next game?
Yeah, I think James brought up a great point. And what I was going to say is that they do have the draft capital. They got a bunch of picks from the Rams for this, so they can expend some first-round picks. And I would even just throw Jared Goff in that mix, too. Here, go to Houston. We got some picks. Give us Watson and call it a day. So I think that would be a very good trade for the Detroit Lions. Whether they make that, it's up in the air. But nonetheless, they do have the draft picks to go out and try to get a franchise quarterback.
Okay, the next matchup we have are the Tennessee Titans on the road up against the Indianapolis Colts. This is a very interesting one. The Colts are favored by 3 at home. I'll start this one off. I'm going to go with the Colts. There's something up with Vegas. This is Vegas. There's no way that I see this Titans team losing this game anywhere else or anyhow. Just to let you know, Derrick Henry is 131 yards away from 1,000 yards. I'm going to say this here and now, Sports City. I feel he gets 1,000 this game. I feel like he gets 131 yards today, and they still lose. They still lose. I don't know. I think Julio is out for this game also, but we'll throw this one around the room and see how you guys feel about it. I'll come to you next on this one, Eric. Your thoughts on this game, Tennessee and Indianapolis. Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, I think Vegas is just trying to clean house here and get some bets on the Colts and, you know, make some money. I definitely do not know what's up with that other than that, because Tennessee is going to win this game. They dominated the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. This is, they're on a good winning streak right now. So, and Derrick Henry is running wild. We've all seen that commercial with Derrick Henry running and all these defenders sticking to him, running down the field. And that's what's going to happen tonight. Yep, that's what's going to happen today versus the Colts. Tennessee's going to continue their winning ways. It's okay that they don't have Julio Jones in. They still got A.J. Brown, and they still have Derrick Henry, and they still have a good defense. So I look for Tennessee to win.
Dave, your thoughts on this one, Titans or Colts?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Titans on this. But the Indianapolis Colts have been playing a lot better in the past 4 weeks than they have the first 3 weeks of the season. That goes without saying. So this is not the slam dunk that I think that, just judging based off the records and how those teams start the season, that you would think. But I think people very much overrate the importance of Julio Jones to this offense. He's a good wide receiver, but they've been winning without him for the past 3 years as well. So it's not as if this is something that's going to completely cripple this offense as long as Derrick Henry is still up and available. So I'm going to take the Titans in a tight one.
Okay, fair enough. The next matchup, I get to do this quickly because we are running low. Is there anybody in this building that feels the Jets can protect their house up against the Cincinnati Bengals?
Not happening.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to say this, Sports City. I agree across the board. I think the Bengals win this game. But I'm going to say this right now. I will not be shocked if the Jets make this interesting or beat the Bengals. I'm not saying it like they will, but this game was interesting. There's been a lot of big spreads across the board. They're saying that the Bengals have an 11-point spread, and they've been brutally beating teams up. Things that make you go, and this is the Jets, and they are in a bad situation. Bad. I'm going with the Bengals, but I would not be shocked if it happens. It's something fishy here. It's something fishy. The next matchup I have is another.
How does that happen? How does the Dolphins versus Bills get a 14-point spread, whereas the Bengals versus the Jets get an 11-point spread? I don't know how that's a thing. James, exactly what I'm saying.
Let's keep on moving. Keep on moving. The next one I have is another quick one. Does anybody here feel the Houston Texans can protect their house up against the Los Angeles Rams?
The Houston Texans can't protect anything, Ty.
I'm just trying to be fair. The spread, and this makes it even crazier. See, and this is the funny part about spreads. The spread here is 16.5. 16.5. And the Rams are in Houston. See what I'm saying? See the Vegas? I'm trying to say, okay. So everybody's agreeing on the Rams, correct?
Yep.
Okay. The next matchup I have is the New England Patriots going across the country, Los Angeles up against the Chargers. James, I'll come to you first. Belichick or Herbert, who wins this game and why?
I'm going to take the Chargers. the Patriots are a better team than I think people believe they are, and it's a lot better than their record states, but I mean, the Chargers are one of the elite teams in the AFC right now, and there's no reason that they should lose to the Patriots going with the Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. Mac Jones is going to have to prove to me that he can beat a team that's above 500. Eric, your thoughts on this matchup, Patriots or Chargers in SoFi?
Yeah, we got a clean sweep here. I also got the Chargers. Just like you just said, timeless nail on the head. They're going to have to prove that they can beat an elite team. Yeah, we all saw what they did to the Jets last week, but that's the Jets. They did have a good game against the Cowboys. They are a lot better. Mac Jones is turning into a good quarterback. He's under the guidance of Belichick. And Patriots are always going to put out a fighting team with Belichick around. That's just the way it is. But they're going into a hungry San Diego, or Los Angeles now. They'll always be San Diego to me. It's kind of ridiculous they moved. But, I don't see it happening. They're firing on all cylinders. They're coming off a tough loss. And they're going to be hungry today, and they're going to get the W.
The next matchup I have is the Jacksonville Jaguars going completely across the country to Seattle up against the Seahawks. I got to throw this one around as much as I wanted to be quick about it. Eric, I'll come right back to you. Trevor Lawrence or Geno Smith? This is an interesting game. Who wins this game and why?
I think Geno Smith and Alex Collins pull this off just because it's in Seattle. This is a tough one, you know, without Russell Wilson, but the Seahawks are a scrappy team, and they've been playing and they've been in games, since Wilson has been out. So they had some tough losses, a tough loss against Pittsburgh. So I do see them beating Jacksonville at home today.
James, your thoughts on this game, Jacksonville or Seattle? Who wins this game and why? It's in Seattle.
I'm going to take the Jags. I think that, it's true that the Seahawks have been, a scrappy team, even with Geno Smith on the helm, but I've got to go with the Jags on this one. I think this is one where Marvin Jones can really establish himself as a number one wide receiver, because you've got LaVisca Chenault still, so they've got plenty of weapons, they've got plenty of chances. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be really close, especially in Seattle. But I'm gonna take the Jags.
This is very tough. I'm really looking at both of these quarterbacks and their numbers, and I'm stuck. Like, I'm really stuck looking at both of these guys right now because I don't believe in Geno at all, and Trevor Lawrence has been all right, but he's just not winning power yet. I am going to agree with James. I'm going to go with the Jags to pull this upset off. I'm calling this an upset, too. This is an upset. I think the Jags pull this one off. They win by a field goal late. I think Trevor gets them in field goal range, and they beat the 12th man and the Seahawks. I just don't have faith in Geno Smith at the end of the day. I'm puzzled how he still has a job. I'm puzzled. The next matchup I have is the football team up against the Broncos. This takes place at Empower Field at Mile High. I am going to go with the Broncos to pull this off at home. I think they actually get after Heinicke and make this tough. I think this will be one of those get-your-popcorn-ready games, but I feel the Broncos can do it and still win this game. I'm going with Captain Bridgewater for somebody here right now. Eric, your thoughts on this game? Who do you like in this matchup, the football team or the Broncos?
Well, Timeless, they got Judy back today. I believe he's activated for the game. And that's the only reason that I'm going with the Broncos here, and for the fact they're at home. Heinicke has been playing good football, undrafted quarterback. The Washington football team has played some really good games out there. So it's going to be – this is a toss-up. The Broncos' defense is banged up, so that could be a problem, but Bridgewater has one of his main weapons back, and I do think the Broncos get back on track and get a win today.
James, your thoughts on this one, football team or Broncos, and why?
I'm taking the Broncos, mainly because the Washington football team has not been the team – that they were advertised. Neither have the Broncos, for that matter. These are both teams that have been kind of disappointing based off the preseason hype. But the Washington team, especially on the defensive side, has been very disappointing. Everybody was expecting a top-five defense, and they haven't been able to stop a nosebleed. So I'm going to go with the Broncos and Captain Bridgewater.
Now you're taking my slogan. This is horrible. The next matchup I have are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into the Superdome up against the Saints. I will go first. There's a story of a guy named Brady. I find it tough, even though I really think Jameis will try to make this a game up against his former team, the team that got rid of him and sent him to New Orleans. I don't think it stops now, even though the Saints do have an interesting secondary. They're in this game without Antonio Brown, but I still feel the Bucs are one of those locomotives that they just can't stop. James, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this game. Who do you like, Buccaneers or the Saints?
I'm going to take the Bucs. I'm not going to waste a lot of time. This is a powerhouse offense and a reputable defense that has one of the better run-stuffing squads in the league right now. So they're going to be forcing Jameis to pass. And unless, I mean, it's always the question, pre-LASIK Jameis or post-LASIK Jameis? But I don't think it matters in this one, to be completely honest, because because they're going to be tying up Kamara quite a bit. So I'm going to go with the Bucs.
Eric, your thoughts on this one? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus New Orleans Saints. Who do you like in this matchup in the Superdome?
The steamroller continues to roll. No problems for the Bucs. Their offense is, I mean, bar none, the top in the league. They got a great defense. They have all their pieces back, and they are rolling right now.
The next matchup I have is the Sunday night matchup, the Cowboys versus the Vikings. I will come to you first on this one, Eric, right back at you. Who do you like in this one? They are still playing that questionable situation in front of Dak's feet. How do you feel about this one, the Cowboys and Minnesota up against the Vikings?
It's definitely going to be a good football game today. But, you know, Dallas has one of the top offenses in the league. They're rolling now. Cooper's fully healthy. They got bye week rest. I do believe Dak Prescott is going to get the nod. Game time decision, that usually means they're playing. But even if Cooper Rush got the start, I think the Cowboys would still be able to find a way to pull it off and get the win. Stephon Diggs is playing out of his mind. He could set a record this year for interceptions, so we'll see what happens. But I look for Dallas to continue their winning ways.
Okay. James, did you go on this? No, you did not, right?
I did not.
Cowboys or Vikings,
so,
do you like this is in Minnesota?
It really depends on the answer to that questionable that questionable tag. If Dak's playing and playing at a reasonably high level, then Cowboys can win. If he ain't playing, I'm going to go with the Vikings. I mean, they've had the bye week. They've had a week to he's had a week to recover, and he's still not 100%. That's something that's going to make a lot of Cowboys fans nervous, and it ought to. But they drop the game if Dak isn't playing, which I'm going to predict that he isn't. So I'm going to go with the Vikings.
I agree with you. If Dak plays, I feel like they can threat to win the game. I'm strictly going with the Vikings, though. I still feel the Vikings can win this game. It's Sunday night. Dalvin Cook actually plays well up against the Cowboys, too. So I feel like he could be helpful in opening this thing up for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has to try to be better. I'm going with the Vikings at home up against the Cowboys to give them an interesting loss in the middle of the season. Okay, we are at the last game, Monday Night Football. The New York Giants are going into Arrowhead up against the Chiefs. We get to break this down. I'm gonna let you guys break this down. I'll go to you first on this one, James. I'll go to Eric first. Eric, your thoughts on this game, Giants against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. The Chiefs have to try to get back to 500. The Giants can play spoiler in doing so.
Yeah, Timeless. This is a hard one. If it was in New York, I may be picking the Giants on this one. Patrick Mahomes is another one, like we talked about early in the show, these quarterbacks trying to go out there and do too much, trying to force things. And I think it has a lot to do with this is the NFL. They're not defenses are not going to let you torch them year in and year out, unless you're Rodgers and Brady, you know. But they figured out his style of play. They contain Tyreek Hill. And they have no offensive line whatsoever, and their defense is same with that, none. So it's going to be a hard-fought battle for the Chiefs. I believe they pull it out. They're at home. They still have a better offense than New York, but they have problems. Kansas City is going to miss the playoffs this year, and I'm telling you right now, here first on Sports City Chefs, the Chiefs will not be in the playoffs.
Okay. James, your thoughts on this one, Big Blue or the Chiefs?
I'm going to take the Chiefs in this one. I think that this is going to be I don't know what the over-under is at. If it's less than 80, then I would probably take the over because the Chiefs' defense has not stopped anybody at all. That's a problem. But can the Giants defense really hold down against this Kansas City Chiefs offense? I don't believe so. So if you have any fantasy football players playing for Monday night, I would play them all, every single one of them, because there's going to be a lot of points scored. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs overall.
And the over-under is at 52. Interesting that you said that. I am going to go with the Chiefs also, and here's why. It's not just Mahomes and that offense. The Giants are without Saquon Barkley and Kenny Golladay. And a lot of people that I know out here in this area screamed about Kenny Golladay going to the Giants and saying that was a big pickup. I was saying watch him because he does have injury issues, and he's missed so many different games this season already. I think the Giants have a lot to do to try to win this game. I feel like their defense is stronger than Kansas City's defense, but I don't think it slows them down as much as we think or want to see. So we are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Thank you for stopping by. A bunch of everybody, happy Halloween to everybody out there in their families. Everybody be safe. I'll start with you first, Mr. Controversy. Give me a plug, shout-out, closeout, and we shut the doors here at The Brunch.
Shout-out to the boys at the campus tailgate, who I believe have started back up doing Saturdays. It is a really interesting show to listen to. I follow much more of draft prospects as opposed to college teams, but it's a good show to watch. Talk to you guys later. Peace.
Definitely. All right. Eric, give me a plug, close out, shout out as we shut the doors here at The Brunch.
Another great show, gentlemen. Excited about all the shows we got going on throughout the week. Be sure to check it out. We thank all the listeners and supporters out there. Get the merch. Get out there and represent. And look for the Crossover Cafe coming at you soon. Everybody have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too, SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs, the finger food episodes that are out there. Us on YouTube. Check out the website. Go get you some merch. We got masks, T-shirts, hoodies, cups, mugs. You name it, we are doing the most that we can for everybody that's out there in this world that commit to us here at Sports City. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.